Ramanujacharya, the great Acharya Vasishta Advaita, qualified non-duality. It's a little cold to close to open the curtains right now. Actually, it's a little cold to open up the curtains. The reason for keeping, let me just explain this again. The reason for keeping the curtains closed during the evening is that they form an additional barrier for insulation. So, in the winter, the summer it's different. The summer it's good to open them early because the heat escapes. Okay. But now, it is chilly outside. So, we'll chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas before class. Saparshita Gora Viraha Vilapa. Yehane Oh. Charya, all Sutta, Sutashi, Shivad. His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Nandakoti, Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai. Prem, Say, Kaho Shri Krishna. Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Gijaya Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopakopatasayam Kunradakunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Maturidam Kijaya Jagannatha Swami Kijaya Yamunavai Kijaya Sri Manigalasiddhi Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Gijaya Gaur Premananda Hare Hare All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya God? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the Savior of the Fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in his association, he performed his pastimes. Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Omaganath Tividanda Shaganan Janash Lakaya Chakshur Meditam Yenatas Mai Shigurve Namaha. So, as I mentioned, today is the disappearance, commemoration of the disappearance day of Shipad Ramanujacharya. And he's called Ramanujacharya because he's considered to be the incarnation of Lakshman, the Anuja of Ram. So, very important personality. So we'll start the description with a little history before Ramanujacharya appeared, some of the acharyas before. So in 908 AD, there was this great devotee named Natha Muni, who compiled the Vedas and the hymns of the Alwars. The Alwars are the South Indian poets who wrote about Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu's activities. And some of the Alwars were actually ladies, too. So it's interesting that in traditional India, the ladies actually had an equal status in terms of the spirituality with the men. And even there's, in the Upanishads, there's one lady who does a lot of preaching, that's Gargi. So, because nowadays there's a little bit more chauvinism in India. Anyway, I don't want to mention about an email I just got. Anyway, I won't mention it. So anyway, so this Natamuni, he compiled the hymns of the Alwars, and he put together different aspects of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in the language of Tamil and Tamil Nadu. And these are called the Tamil Vedas that are sung even today. So he was married. He had a son. His son's name was Ishwara Muni. And Ishwara Muni died when his wife was pregnant. And he had a son. Of course, the wife had a son after the husband passed away. And that son's name was Yamuna, who later on became Yamunacharya. And he was born in 953 A.D. And Natamuni became so disturbed when his son passed away, understanding the fragile, temporary nature of this world, he just took sannyas when his son died. And so what happened with his grandson, who was Yamuna, who later on became Yamunacharya, he was a great scholar. So Yamuna, later became, I'll just call him Yamunacharya, just for, so I don't have to say later became Yamunacharya. So Yamuna had a spiritual master, and his spiritual master was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And but there was a king, the king of the kingdom of Chola, who wanted to extract taxes even from the Brahmins. And so this wasn't appropriate. Actually, the king is not supposed to take taxes from the Brahmanas. So the king had a deal that either you pay taxes or you have to argue with the royal pundit. And if you argue with the royal pundit, you have to pay more taxes. So this guru, he didn't want to bother arguing with the royal pundit. But Yamunacharya, who was a very good disciple of his guru, said, I'm going to defend my guru, because the guru had to admit defeat not to pay too much in taxes. So Yamunacharya went to the king in the palace, and he took up a challenge, actually made a challenge to the court pundit who he was supposed to defeat, or the court pundit was supposed to defeat him. One of the two things would happen. And he said to the court pundit, I'm going to give you three statements that you have to nullify, to argue against in a bona fide way. And if you can do it, use good arguments, then you've defeated me. Yamunacharya said that to the pundit. And the pundit said, yeah, let's go ahead. And the queen of the king, because queen means, the queen was so much enamored with Yamunacharya and his erudition, she said, I'll bet on his side. I like this young man, 12 years old. And if he wins, this is an interesting story, if he wins, you'll have to give him half of your kingdom. And if your pundit wins, the wife said, I'll become your obedient servant. Her husband, obviously she wasn't the obedient servant before, but anyway. So the king said, well, let's go for it. The guy's only 12 years old. So Yamunacharya made these three statements, which he challenged the court pundit to defeat. First statement was, and I'll do one statement at a time, your mother is not barren. So in other words, to defeat that statement, the court pundit would have to make the statement or prove the statement that his mother is barren. So he didn't know how to do that. How can you say, my mother is barren? Because you're like, yeah. So Yamunacharya said, I can defeat that statement, because according to the Vedic system, if just one has only one son, the lady is considered barren. So he won on that account. Then he made another statement that seemed really outrageous. So defeat this statement, the king is righteous. And the court pundit didn't know how to do that without committing an offense to the king. So Yamunacharya said, well, I can prove the king's not righteous because he's assuming the karma, a certain percentage of the karma of all the citizens, so therefore he has bad karma. He's not righteous. And so everyone went, wow, he's really intelligent, this guy. And the third one was even more outrageous. He said, I'm making a statement, the queen is chaste, so you have to prove the queen is not chaste. I mean, that's a really difficult one. And so the pundit gave up and said, no, I can't do it, but you have to do it. So the Yamunacharya said, yes, easy to prove, because the king is considered the sum total in one sense of the demigods, or representative of the demigods. So in other words, the queen is married to all the demigods. I mean, she's unchaste. So because of that, he was given a new name at that point, at least in that particular circumstance, called Alabandhuru, which means he was conquered. So we got half the kingdom. So a little 12-year-old boy got half the kingdom. And this is a very interesting story. So he basically became enamored with being the king, you know, having all these opulences and all these ladies fanning him and feeding him grapes or whatever they ate at those particular points. And later on, actually, he became, I mean, let's go tell the story before we talk about later on. So his grandfather, remember his grandfather took sannyas because his father passed away. Nathamuni wanted to save his grandson. So he sent his disciple to try to preach, his disciple's name was Nambi, to try to preach Yamunacharya, but he was not able to see the king, you know, because sometimes it's very restricted. You can't see the king or the president or whatever, anyone in a prominent position. So he had a trick. What he did is he presented the king's cook with his special spinach, like special green spinach, it's called tudu volai, greens. And the cook was cooking this for the king every day, and the king became attached to it, and one day he stopped doing it, stopped bringing it, this Nambi, he stopped doing it. And so the king asked, you know, where's my spinach today? And the cook said, you know, the guy didn't bring it. And the king said, bring the guy to see me. As Yamunacharya said that. And so they brought him to see him, and basically Nambi started preaching to the king and saying, you know, basically you've fallen in Maya. You've forgotten your whole heritage and Krishna consciousness. And then Yamunacharya, you just like came back to him, and he basically left and took sannyas. Yeah, that picture, right from the king. And he became so renounced. There's this famous quote that, I don't remember the Sanskrit, maybe you know the Sanskrit, you know, since I've been tasting newer and newer ecstasy, I don't remember the Sanskrit for it, nava-nava, something, newer and newer taste. Whenever I think of this enjoyment, you know, sex life enjoyment, he said, I spit. And it was one of Prabhupada's favorite quotes.
King Kulashekar.
No, it's Yamunacharya. That was Yamunacharya. It's not King Kulashekar. This is Yamunacharya's quote, famous quote from Yamunacharya. And one time Prabhupada was doing it. And sometimes Prabhupada would pronounce spit like spite. Spit, spite. And then one time Prabhupada did it, and he actually spat like that. The devotee was there with him. I wasn't there at that time, but the devotee told me that story. Interesting. So he became so renounced that he just didn't have it. Of course, it's called ghastliness, basically. Disgust. So, anyway, so then what happened is that Yamunacharya had his chief follower, his name was Shailapurna, Sri Shailapurna. And he had two sisters, One was Bhudevi, who became the mother of Ram. And this Bhudevi, another name for her was Kuntimati. She married Ramanujacharya's father, who was known as Keshavacharya. And it was a place near Madras. It's called Sri Perum Bhutir, right near Madras, which is also near Kanchi in South India, in Tamil Nadu. So then in 1017, Ramanujacharya, as I mentioned before, he wasn't called Ramanujacharya at his birth, but he's known Ramanuja, appeared, and he was named Lakshman as the brother of Ram. And so as he grew up, he did get married. He got married at 16. And he moved right after his father died. Actually, his father died right after he got married. And he moved to Kanchipuram and accepted a guru named Yadava Prakash, who was an impersonalist, who didn't actually believe in God. He believed that everything was one. And so Ramanuja had some arguments with his guru that really agitated his guru. One time he was massaging his guru, and his guru was explaining a verse from the Chandogya Upanishad, in which it's described the Lord's lotus eyes. And the guru interpreted this verse as that the Lord's lotus eyes were as red as a monkey's trasero. I didn't want to use that word in class, ASS. Anyway, so Ramanujacharya got so upset, he started crying, and he was massaging his guru at the same time, so the tears came from his eyes and washed down the guru's back. And the guru said, "What's the problem?" And Ramanuja said, "The problem is this is a great offense against the Supreme Lord." You don't want to say that to your guru, but he could. And the guru said, "So, what is your explanation?" And Ramanuja said, "It's described that the Lord's lotus eyes are as red as lotus flowers that are fed by the sun." The famous verse. And so the guru got really upset. And the second time Ramanuja defeated his guru, when his guru talked about Brahman being covered by illusion. You know, so that's crazy. Brahman can't be covered by illusion. The Supreme Brahman, at least. So the guru gets so upset that he thought, "I got to kill this guy. He's going to become so powerful, he's going to defeat this impersonalism." And so he said to Ramanuj and all of his disciples, who he took into his confidence, that we're going to all go to the Ganges, take a trip to the Ganges, which is all the way to the north. And so when we go take a trip to the Ganges in the north, we'll bathe in the Ganges. And he told his disciples, not Ramanuj, that we'll kill Ramanuja, and then we bathe in the Ganges afterwards, so we're not going to be culpable of the sin of killing him. It's pretty good, you know. It's like, if you have to kill someone, circumambulate Tulsi afterwards, right? As we chant every morning, Brahmahatya Dikhanicha. By circumambulating Tulsi, you become free of the sin of killing a Brahmin. Dumb. Doesn't work like that. You know, if you did something accidentally in last life or something, that's a different thing. So, anyway, so they all went to the Ganges, and along with Ramanuj was his cousin, Govinda. And Govinda was taken into confidence by the other disciples of Yadava Prakash, and he told his cousin, "This is what's going to happen." So Ramanuja left in the middle of the night, and Govinda said actually that he was attacked by a tiger and killed, and the teacher was ecstatic. He thought, "This is great. I didn't have to kill him. You know, Krishna took care of it. Fantastical." So what happened is that Ramanuja, this is all the way in North India, which is very far from Kanchi. You know, it's 1,000 miles away or something like that, or more than that. So when Ramanuj went into the forest and he found there was a couple there, it was called fowlers, that means people catch birds or take care of birds, and they gave him some water and they found a well and he went to sleep. And the next morning he woke up and he was back in his village in South India. And it was understood that this couple of fowlers was Lord Vishnu or Ram and Sita. That was the understanding that they saved him. So he was so liberal, he continued to associate with his guru. That's pretty liberal. And later on, something else happened with the guru. The king of Kanchi, it's Kanchipuram, had a daughter, and the daughter was haunted by a ghost, a Brahma Rakshasa. And so they called for Yadava Prakash, who was Ramanuja's spiritual master. He couldn't do anything. In fact, the ghost started to laugh at Yadava Prakash, you know, just insult to injury, running, rubbing salt in the wound. And the ghost actually said, if you want to get rid of me, call for Ramanuja. You know, the guru was really upset. And Ramanujacharya was able to get rid of the ghost. And the ghost was actually gone. Actually, I believe that a branch fell from a tree to indicate that the ghost had left. And the guru was really upset at that particular time. So Ramanujacharya, as I mentioned before, was married. And he used to associate in his household life with a great devotee of Yamunacharya named Kanchi Purna, who was from a non-Brahmin family. Remember, in those days, it was very strict who you associated with. Just like even today, I have one disciple who we tried to arrange a marriage for, but his parents insisted he had to marry someone from the same caste in the same village, even though she's not a devotee, and he's just going along with it. Mm-hmm. You know, this life. Anyway, so Ramanujacharya was not into this caste-conscious stuff. He was associated with a great devotee, even though he was born in a non-Brahmin family. And this really agitated his wife. And we'll get into actually what happened after describing another pastime. But remember that. Ramanujacharya's wife, whose name was Rakshakambal, was very disturbed. She was from a high-class Brahmin family. She didn't want her husband associating with this Shudra, who she considered to be a Shudra, but he was a great pure devotee of the Lord. So, in the meantime, Yamunacharya was getting ready to pass away from this world, and he called for Ramanuja, knowing that Ramanuja was going to be his the next acharya in the disciplic succession. But Ramanujacharya got to see Yamunacharya too late, right after Yamunacharya had passed away. Yamunacharya was in Sri Rangam, which is further south than Kanchi. It's actually quite a distance from Kanchi to Kanchipuram to Sri Rangam. So, but as soon as Ramanujacharya got to Sri Rangam, he saw the body of Yamunacharya that was being prepared. And Yamunacharya had like three fingers clenched in his hand like this. And he asked the disciples of Yamunacharya, why does he have three fingers clenched? And they said, I don't know. And Ramanujacharya guessed. He said, one reason is that he had not been able to spread Krishna consciousness to the people in general, just to the Brahmins. And so at that point, one of the fingers opened up. The next one was, he wasn't able to complete a Vedanta commentary, and the next one opened up. And the next, and then the third one was, he wasn't able to name one of his disciples after Parashara Muni, and that all his fingers were opened up at that point. So it was understood at that point that basically, he was going to be the next acharya in the disciplic succession. But he didn't take that position right then. So he returns to Kanchipuram, completely disinterested in this world, thinking, how can I get out of this world? Meantime, he invites his Siksha Guru, Kanchipurna, for dinner. remember, Kanchipuram is from a non-Brahmin family, and Ramanuja's wife does not like that. So Kanchipuram came early to dinner when Ramanuja was not there. The wife of Ramanuja fed him, but threw away the remnants and fed them to shudras or to dogs or something like that. And when Ramanuja came back, he asked his wife, you know, where are the remnants? And she said, I just fed them to some low-class people or dogs or whatever. And Ramanuja got very angry. But that wasn't enough to cause him to leave. The next thing did cause him to leave. Kanchipurna's wife was drawing water from a well at the same time as Ramanuja's wife was drawing water. And some of the water from Kanchipurna's wife's bucket fell into Ramanuja's wife's bucket. And Ramanuja's wife just like dumped the whole thing. Blah! It's all contaminated. Fell from your bucket. So Kanchipurna's wife went back to Kanchipurna, started crying. Kanchipurna, he just left. You know, he took his wife and they just left the situation. This is too much. And Ramanuja became determined to leave home. And the way he took sannyasa is very interesting. He wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to his wife, sort of like forging her mother's or her father's signature. You know, the forgery. And he had a Brahmin deliver it, saying that there's a marriage in your home village, you know, Ramanuja's wife's home village. So please come immediately to help us with the marriage. Because whenever there's a marriage, everybody gets together. It's a traditional Indian thing. And so Ramanuja comes home and made believe he didn't know anything about it. And he said, what's happening, dear? And she said, I just got this message that I have to go to the village of my parents. And Ramanuja said, yeah, you go and I'll follow you sometime shortly after that. So immediately after she left, he took sannyasa. That's a trick. Prabhupada also said that he Prabhupada said it was like a transcendental trick that he did too. Anyway, then he became known as Yati Raj after that point. I mean, he still kept the name Ramanujacharya. Yati Raj means the king of the sannyasis. Yati means sannyasi, Raj means king. So then he started to initiate disciples. His first disciple was his cousin Dasarathi. Second disciple was named Quraysh, who had a photographic memory. And Quraysh, his second disciple, preached to Ramanuja's previous spiritual master, Yadava Prakash. And Yadava Prakash got bewildered because he had a perfect memory and memorized all the Vedas. Yadava Prakash really got confused. He said, this may be true. Maybe I should surrender to Ramanujacharya. Maybe I should surrender to my disciple, even though I tried to kill him previously. And he had a dream in which he was impelled to do that. And also his mother told him, you better surrender to that disciple. So mothers know best. And then he had a discussion with Ramanujacharya, and he was defeated in argument. And he became initiated, and his name was Govinda G.R., and he became a great writer and acharya in that disciplic succession too. So Ramanujacharya then left Kanchipuram, where he was married. He wasn't married anymore. And he went to Sri Rangam and studied under another devotee, a disciple of Yamunacharya named Mahapurna. And Mahapurna sent him to this other disciple, Yamunacharya, to learn a mantra, a special mantra. And this other disciple's name was Goshtipurna. And he begged many times to get this mantra. And he was refused. But finally, Goshtipurna said, you know, I'll give you this mantra, but you cannot reveal it to anyone else, because if anyone else hears it, they get liberated. It's a secret mantra. And so he recited the mantra in the ear of Ramanujacharya. The mantra was Om Namo Narayanaya, for the secret mantra. And Ramanujacharya When he, as soon as he got the mantra, he went up to the tallest building in the whole city and broadcast the mantra to everybody. And then his guru, Goswami, came and he just was so upset. Don't you understand? You're going to hell? And Ramanujacharya said, I'm willing to go to hell to liberate others. And his guru at that point just bowed down to Ramanujacharya and said, you were actually the guru because you understood properly. So then he began to go to different temples and regulate deity worship. He went to Jagannath Puri, and Lord Jagannath didn't like to be regulated. Because he wanted the worship, at least at that time, in Jagannath Puri was on the platform of Rag. You know, Raghunuga Bhakti, not Vaidhi Bhakti. And so Lord Jagannath got so upset with him because he was trying to regulate the deity worship there that he threw Ramanujacharya away to Kurmakshetra. Kurmakshetra is, we showed that slide the other Sunday. And that's where Kurma, the tortoise incarnation of the Lord, is worshipped. We've been there several times. And he got, Ramanujacharya got there, he thought it was a Shiva temple, but then he was informed it was a temple of Kurma, the tortoise incarnation of the Lord, and he became very happy. Then after that he wrote the Sri Bhasha, which is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, because every Vaishnava tradition or even the impersonal traditions have to write a commentary in the Vedanta Sutras. And then he got in trouble with the king of Chola, who was a Shiva worshipper. He wanted everyone to worship Shiva, and he wanted to convert Ram. So he asked for Ram to come to see him and argue with him. So what happened at that particular juncture, Quraysh understood that this was a trick and that this king had intended to kill or hurt Ram. So Quraysh, dressed as a spiritual master, went before the king and basically insulted the king. And the king put his eyes out. He just like, you know, put some whatever, you know, whatever they did, you know, he poked his eyes out. He was blinded. And this king later on became known as Krimikanta because worm throat. He died a few days later. The king died a few days later from an infection in his throat. So Quraysh went before his spiritual master, Ramanuja, and Ramanuja asked what had happened and told Quraysh that you should go before the deity of Varadaraja in Kanchi and he'll give you back his sight. So he went before the deity, and instead of asking for his sight back, he asked that the king would be forgiven. That's a Vaishnava. That's pretty interesting. Then Ramanujacharya said, did you get your sight back? And Quraysh said, I didn't ask for it. And Ramanuja said, don't you understand? You're my servant and your two eyes belong to me. Go back and ask for your eyes back. So he went back to the deity, Varadaraja in Kanchi, and he fainted and he opened his eyes afterwards and he was able to see. Amazing. Ram defeated many Jains in argumentation who committed suicide, as we mentioned yesterday, the story of Madhvacharya. And there's an interesting story about a disciple named Dhanurdas. Dhanurdas was actually fanning his girlfriend and holding an umbrella over her head. And I'm just going to tell the story real quickly because I don't have a lot of time. And then he asked Dhanurdas, why are you just doing this with your girlfriend? It looks so silly. You know, he's walking backwards. And he said, because her eyes are beautiful. And then Ramanujacharya said, if I can show you someone with more beautiful eyes, will you go to see them? And he took this Dhanurdas to see the deity. And as soon as Dhanurdas saw Ranganath, Lord Ranganath, this is in Sri Rangam, then he immediately became entranced with the deity. He said, yes, the deity has much more beautiful eyes than my girlfriend. Then Ramanujacharya told him to marry his girlfriend. They got married. And he was a very advanced devotee. So advanced that he was more advanced than the sannyasis who were followers of Ramanujacharya, because the sannyasis, one time Ramanujacharya played a trick on them. He switched their clothes at night while they were sleeping, and they woke up and they started fighting each other over the clothes. And then he showed the sannyasis, because he had one of his disciples take Dhanurdas' wife's jewels, off of half of her body. And she wasn't upset. In fact, Ramanujacharya chastised his wife for not giving all the jewels to the devotees. And not Ramanujacharya, so Dhanardas chastised his wife. So he actually proved that they were more advanced than the sannyasis. And Lord Jagannath later on, still got 4 more minutes, Lord Jagannath sent him to Navadvip, this is the Navadvip Dham Mahatma, and he saw Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya told him only to preach Dasharash, servitude. And later on, he told Ramanujacharya that he would appear later, and Ramanujacharya would appear later with him, and of course that meant Lord Nityananda, Ananda. So, when it got time for his disappearance, he told his disciples it was time to leave, for him to leave. And they begged him again and again and again, don't leave this world. So he said, all right, you got 3 more days, I'm going to give you your final instructions. And here's the final instructions that Ramanujacharya gave his disciples. 1, always serve the Vaishnavas. 2, have faith in the Vedas and devotees. 3, you should work on conquering lust, anger, and greed. And 4, always worship Narayan. Very important instructions. So, then he placed his head on Govinda, that was his disciple, of course, his cousin. He placed his head on Govinda's head on Govinda's lap, and he left this world like that. This was at Srirangam. And actually, before that, I didn't tell this story. Before that, he said, you can worship this deity of him. So they made a deity of him, and there's some stories, at least in the biographies, that he breathed on the deity and just like installed his own deity at that time. And that deity is there in Srirangam, right next to where Ramanujacharya's body is. Ramanujacharya's body has been preserved, like wrapped. And he's sitting there with his danda, and the deity is right in front of him, behind him. I forget whether it's in front or behind. In front, yeah, it's in front. So the deity, it's a smaller deity, is right in front of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya, you see the actual form of Ramanujacharya still there, preserved in Srirangam. It's an amazing place. So he passed away in 1137. That means he lived for 120 years, and taught Vishishtadvaita, as we mentioned before, which means qualified non-dualness, which is pretty much the same as a Chinchipeta Veda Tattva, which means oneness in diversity. Chinchipeta Veda Tattva, one and different, simultaneously, inconceivably. And so that's all we have time for today. Any quick 10-second questions?
Yeah, that liberation, if somebody or anybody, that's the thing, if anybody had access to liberation, tell the whole world, I like what what's his name had done, get on top of the roof and just blast it off everywhere.
Yeah, so that's what we should do.
Yeah.
We should get on top of the internet and blast, because that's where the world is now.
Yeah, that's all bad.
The world is on the internet. So we get on top of the internet and blast the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Gauranga. You know, they won't chant Hare Krishna, they can chant Gauranga.